we'll get started, and then, yeah, we were talking about one more thing to put in there was a follow-up report on the ODA meeting from the 3rd of last month, and then I was going to, hey, good to see you.
Hey there.
And then I was going to have you start off giving your report, so if you want to throw in stuff about the
Coast Guard,
the April 3rd meeting, that's great too.
And,
oh, that's great. Thought you weren't going to be able to make it.
I'm going to have a seat.
Appreciate it.
Hello, Commander.
Go right ahead.
Go right ahead.
Okay, yeah, so I guess we'll just start with the ODAs. So we had the meeting with Oregon Department of Aviation at the county building. Did a presentation from there and followed that up with just a quick tour of the airport. Went really well. They were very impressed with everything that's going on. So that, you know, there's funding still available, and you know, told them about all the different improvements we're looking to make. Not only just getting the restrooms done, because that's where we got the funding for the restrooms to be redone, and then the doors and all that is through Corps grant, through ODA, and then looking at extending out the east side here and doing that two-story kind of fishbowl up top in there. So yeah, when you get that design, let us know, because they're all on board trying to help us. So they came out, and there's 9 different people that came out, and we filled them up with swag, and so yeah, they really liked the improvements of the airport, so it's good to see that. So anybody have any questions specifically about that, or
start date
of what
the renovation or all that? It's going to be a while.
Yeah, I don't have that just yet. We're in the middle of a couple of different requests for proposals right now. Now one of them's the next item on the list. So the industrial park that we've got going right now, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's been published for 2 10,000 square foot light industrial buildings at the park right on the west side of Schooler there. So we're in the middle of evaluating 5 different proposals right now. Should have that done here by the end of the week, and then that'll be going to the commission for approval to just get going on the engineering side and the building design. So, and this also ties into the county money that had been given to us. So they gave us $250,000 to do the planning and engineering and all that. So that's part of that, is starting that design work, getting the environmental work kind of finalized, the mitigation stuff, so we can develop a contiguous parcel over there and have a couple of 10,000 square foot buildings that are flex space. We can either rent out a 10,000 square foot space or a 2,500 square foot space, whatever people would need. And that's one of the things that we were bringing up to the ODA, is that, you know, obviously on the general aviation side, if you get bigger airports like PDX, it's not as critical, but you know, the landside development is really critical to smaller GA airports, because that's kind of the lifeblood. That's where you're really making a lot of your money, because a lot of the air side is just dependent 100% on grants to make it viable. So we've got increasing jet fuel sales here, which has always been helpful, but getting the property developed and rented, that's what's going to bring us long-term sustainability.
I can tell you one thing, there isn't a rental nowhere on this. This goes to rent.
Yeah.
They're out of, you know, for motorhome, bigger motorhomes and stuff like that,
sure.
Mini shops and stuff like that. You see these people, there's nothing available.
Yeah. Yeah, industrial space is really at a premium. So our thought is, if we had 4 different 2,500 square foot spaces, they'd be rented
just gone.
So one of the things we're going to do is get through the design process, see, just get an idea on what the costs are going to be. Part of the development proposal that we have out is we want to see how they're going to solve the soil problem over there. Because with Schooler, for example, they put in 93 piles down 100 feet deep, and that foundation was just ridiculously overbuilt. So what our contention with these engineers is, we want you to build something and give us some solutions that don't involve having to
floating floors.
Yeah, there's a lot of those different things. So we've already had with a couple of the presentations some options that would be potentially cheaper, and they've also demonstrated very clearly that they've had these discussions with different entities and different city districts that have said, hey, we want you to build it this way. And like, yeah, we don't need to build it that way. We can build it a cheaper way that's still going to be seismically adequate. So.
You know, if you don't mind me adding to the meeting, I think this is something worthwhile talking about because we're very fortunate here, is, you know, the Warrenton mayor, who is part of our committee, at that meeting, we had a lunch break, and some of the members came over and talked to us. Henry helped us a few years ago, and I remember we were discussing it at previous meetings. He helped us going through Warrenton, fast-tracking, seeing the land use adoption for this airport, you know, to go. It was partly was industrial, but it did not allow for restaurants or anything like that. And Warrenton also has the overlay now that if you're going to build housing within the airport zone, you know, landing zone, overflight, you know, and pattern, that it becomes a deed restriction where the airport's here first, you can't complain about it and stuff. And it kind of sounds like we're so fortunate here because a lot of places are still struggling with it. And I think a lot of that is a tribute to the mayor, oh, there he is, for helping us get that land use change fast-tracked through the city of Warrenton. So it doesn't sound like anybody who just comes in and flies that they really care what your land use is, but for managing the airport, and that's a big issue. I know the Coast Guard was concerned, too, because there was a proposed housing area just to the west of you guys, too, and they were, usually you can't get involved in that locally, but Alameda gave the permission for the Coast Guard to protest it as well. So, but yeah, that was compliments you got from some of the people at ODA for Warrenton's land use zone for the airport.
Protecting the air and noise.
And it's a good thing.
Trying to get county to do it, but it seems like they're not really willing to push the Catsup Plains residents too hard. So, where are we at?
Number one.
Okay.
And then,
the industrial part.
With Schuller, I do have confirmation that they are not going to be doing any processing this year.
Are they going to remain a tenant?
Well, they will remain a tenant. Right now, they're exploring options on how to handle the capital investment needed to completely retool that plant.
Schuller.
Yep.
They seem that they're not doing anything.
Completely
right
retool?
Yeah, well, they're going to have to pull that equipment out and redo it.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and a couple of, several people are no longer with Schuller because of that project. So.
Wow, what a capital investment.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of work that they're doing just to figure out how to get that equipment out and get some newer stuff in. So, outside of that, just business as usual. Guys have been doing really well about attracting military operations, as you can see. So we had our first $100,000 fuel sale month here a couple of months ago, and then we had one right after that. So we had March and April, bang, bang. So first time we've ever had 17,000 plus gallons sold. So.
Wow.
Awesome.
Still got the price down?
Yep. We're keeping the price really, really low.
And that's with the price dropping in those months. Yeah.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Yep. So they're doing a really good job.
You've sucked out all the business that at Tacoma there at the Narrows.
Good.
Airport. They all come down here and get their fuel.
Well, it's a good thing when the fuel delivery truck doesn't have to look at a GPS to know where he's going.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I like seeing that. I've seen other airports where you just go, zero business sense. They've got a government mindset, and they've got a committee made up of business guys that are going, we can increase you $1 million a year on your fuel sales if you give anybody in this room control over the management, and they couldn't figure it out. So thank you. That's very impressive to see the port doing that.
Very good. So that's all I have.
Okay. Commander?
Oh, thank you. Just a couple quick updates. We've done some renovations on the air station's property to allow us to do operations on the other side of the hangar temporarily. Construction is going to begin on the ramp resurfacing here shortly. They're going to be doing laydown starting probably next week with the contractors. Again, the laydown will be on air state property, but just there will be stuff happening over there. And then shortly thereafter, they'll be actually going through. They need to, I think, level a few of the certain sections of the ramp before they actually go and resurface the facility there.
Sure.
That's expected to take almost the whole summer. So we'll be doing operations out of the back, accessing the kind of closed section of the runways over there. Yep, exactly, to access the rest of the airport. So, again, different operations will be coming here shortly from the air station. Appreciate the support for the Air Force folks we have here the next couple of weeks. While they are kind of independently doing training, we provide some logistical support and other support to them as well. And so, obviously, allowing them to access the airport through the FBO while we have all this construction stuff going on is extremely appreciated. Shortly after the ramp, we'll be doing a couple of other projects for the facility, updating. The roofs need some significant love. And then some other projects that will be coming down the pike as well for the air station itself. Some slight good news on the long-range planning. Right now, we've been approved to expand to a fourth aircraft, but that's probably not going to happen until probably closer to 2030. And with that, there will be some facilities expansion requirements to allow us to support that fourth aircraft. So more to follow. I don't think it'll be significant changes to our area, but there will be a little bit of changes with that.
Sure.
I think that covers most of the big stuff from my perspective. I did have a couple questions. I know we had talked about potential fly-ins. It looks like we're going to get to those shortly later, so I'll hold on to those.
Okay. Are you going to tear the ramp up right here in front of the doors, your door?
We are going to be, yes, this whole section is basically to where the grass cutout is. That all is going to be resurfaced.
How do you get your aircraft in and out of the hangar?
So the facility engineers on the backside cleared out the area, I think 52 feet from either side of the taxiway line for the rear side of the ramp, and there's a road taxiway accessing the closed section of the runway there. So that's basically, we're going to be basically doing all the operations on the opposite side of the hangar. So we will be staying off that, allowing the contractor to have full 100%
access. Be able to get your aircraft in the hangar?
Mm-hmm. We have doors on both sides.
Oh, you do?
There's a door on the back. It's like a shotgun long hangar. So there's an opening on this side and exactly the same thing opening on the very far side. They used to actually, I guess, the Falcons used to start up and be run up at the backside there as well. So some old satellite imagery if you Google it.
Commander, with the Coast Guard phasing out the 65s, mm-hmm. and they're so obviously the one that flies in Newport daily and Coos North Bay, are they going to be closed down? Is that going to
So the facility, from my understanding, they're the D-13, which encompasses all of Washington and Oregon, is going through a look at what future force laydown will be. There's a lot of things that play into our site selections, and a lot of both political and operational. There's a lot of things that are pulling us from different directions and limiting what we're allowed to do. I don't have an answer to what that's going to look like in the future. There's talks about relocating Port Angeles, closing Port Angeles, expanding our operations so that we send deployed units to cover those AOR's, but nothing has been defined or determined at this point. It's still pretty kind of nebulous right now. I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, yeah. I just wondered because I knew that, Newport was going to be somewhat short-lived. But I didn't know if they were looking at redeveloping Coos or North Bend or not.
There's still to be determined. Yeah. I think Newport is statutorily required, and so there's other things that... From my understanding, so there's other things that would prohibit us from moving from that location, but how we use that property may change.
Well, I thought since Senator Hatfield passed away some time ago, Newport was in trouble. That was his station.
Yeah. From my understanding, it was codified, so now it's a lot more difficult to just change. I'm speaking from just hearsay, so please take that for what it is.
Okay, thank you.
Sir.
Yay.
It's all you.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have an event next Saturday. Sorry, I have a lifesaver because I cough if I don't have something in my throat with the allergies. But I know you guys have the Air Force here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be out here. We'll do a presentation inside. We're inviting 18 and older people that are interested in learning about becoming a pilot, what it would take, how much it would cost. We'll do a PowerPoint. Here on the TV, set up, chairs, snacks, and then, weather permitting, take the adults on flight, 20-minute, 30-minute flight. So we know that, we found out that the Air Force is going to be training here, too, Do you see any trouble?
Is it weekend?
Saturday.
Yeah, it should be no problem at all. I think their trainings are only Monday through Friday. They're pausing for the weekends.
But they'll have equipment here?
They'll be still here, mm-hmm. But they won't be training through the weekend. So.
That'd be interesting to see.
That's my understanding, yeah.
And a C-130, I think, is going to be parked here next weekend, too. But John thought...
I'll have to check. I'm not sure. Commander Young's been running most of that interface, so he would know the answer to that.
Okay. I don't think it... We didn't publicize it very heavily because we weren't sure how many pilots we would have to fly them. Mm-hmm. It's our first time of doing the adults. We do the children. You know, we do 60. We did 60 last summer. And we'll do that again in August, which I'll get to next. But I don't think it's going to be a hugely attended event, and weather's kind of shaky. Might have some sprinkles and be able to fly in the afternoon. We just have to play it by ear. But we do want to present the PowerPoint, Astro Aviation will be there presenting their material and what it costs and get to know some of the CFIs, and we'll see what happens. Of the ones that have registered online, one's coming from Vancouver, one's from Portland, and one's from Hills. Two are from Portland and one's from Hillsborough area, I believe. And so, and there'll be some local people here. There's posters and there's information online, and here's some other information. If you know anyone that, an adult, 18 and over, that wants to come out and learn about flying, feel free to take one of these. We're expecting, it's going to start at 10, and we should be done by 2. So
now, I'm familiar with, of course, 25 years of Young Eagles, but this is kind of a carbon copy of that for people
adults.
18 and over.
A lot of times when the parents bring their kids out, they're like, what about us?
Right.
We're thinking about flying. They have no clue what the next step would be.
Right.
And this is EAA's way of just kind of gently showing them what the next step could be.
Okay.
And we adjust the PowerPoint based on our area.
Okay.
You know, if you were in, say, Kelso, there might be a club you could join.
Right.
What ways to lower your costs, and also kind of tell people how to put it in perspective. You know, if they get their license here, rent a plane, you know, on the wet rate, you know, you can get your pilot's license for $11,000.
Right.
You can go buy a pontoon boat. They have these slides. And, you know, your pilot's license lasts your whole life. You can do this other expenditure and, you know, you didn't buy a new boat in 10, 15 years. So, anyway, I think it's going to be interesting. And I know other chapters have done it before. We just have never, the chapters that we've been involved with, we've never done it. You can do one-offs with just an EAA pilot that wants to take flying start adult up and kind of get them and then turn them over to a CFI.
So because it's through the EAA, then you've got, you're backed by the insurance policy. And
yes, I've already got the insurance for the program, and we're set. So then we'll do the same thing then in August 2nd, for the Young Eagles.
Right.
So those are 8 to 17-year-olds with parental permission, the registration form. Everything's free. There's no charge for the adults. So if it's, depending on how it goes, I think that's something that we probably will offer on an annual basis. For the adults.
That's right.
They were like, what are they? Bald eagles? What do you call these people? Flying start.
It's
an eagle, So then in between those two events, we also have the Port is a welcoming Puget Sound Antique Aircraft Club. And been trying to communicate with Terry, who came and presented here a couple months ago. They have some publicity materials, but I haven't seen anything yet. I don't know if he sent anything to the Port yet, but they're going to have posters that are, you know, vintage-looking posters about the aircraft. We want to get the public out here and to be able to observe them. Our EAA chapter, you know, we are hosting them. We're going to serve as hosts, but we also want to go and look at the airplanes, so we don't really want to have flipping burgers for them. We want to get some food carts in. We'll give them tokens to pay for their food, and then anybody that comes from the public will just buy their own food. So right now I only have one person that I've been speaking with, and she was at the Crab Festival, and she does clam chowder and chili and cups, bowls, and the bread bowls. And she only does pop-up events and really personable and really good clam chowder, too. So it's like I asked her, you know, what do you think about that? I was stationed volunteering by the clown bread folks. Best place ever to volunteer. I said, give you food. And they said, oh, I wish we could, but they can't do it. But that'd be fun to have clown bread, too. But, you know, something local, I think, and seafood, coastal-oriented for the Puget Sound. So now that's like 40 planes, potentially, 40 pilots. maybe 50.
But I'll give you some context on that, because Molly, from what the association has been sending me emails.
Oh.
And I think there's three contact people. I'll share them with you. So
okay.
You have some.
So Terry's the guy,
yeah.
The only one I've spoken with.
Yeah, he came down here that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And he'll be back down in June.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so we were asking for the ports, you know, it'll be a code.
Sure, yeah, I haven't seen anything from him yet.
Yeah.
I've talked to him, you know, initially when I.
Yeah. He emailed, like, from my mother's basement, he wrote. So I don't know what's going on. He's just a jokester, but, you know, we want to get the chairs, and we need probably a tent or chairs and tables from the portal. We can get that. And I have no idea what kind of public support we'll have. We start publicizing it, PSAs and that type of thing.
Yeah. It is a Monday, yeah, so.
It's a Monday,
it's a Monday in July.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, he talked like, as it got close, he would provide flyers,
yes.
Or,
mm-hmm,
or
posters.
PDF or flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got those available, so.
I don't think they're ready yet, or did you hear otherwise?
Last month he told me that they have them ready, but
oh.
He didn't send me anything.
Oh, because I thought Molly said that they're going to have them ready next month.
Well, maybe she's more.
Or this month. Yeah, I talked to her last in April.
Okay, yeah, let's share those contacts.
Okay.
And we can talk. But that's our three events going on right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Henry's out of town again during the meeting, right? So nothing from
Kim
or Leah? Yeah. Okay. Daniel, Astoria Aviation, do you have anything you'd like to report or any questions? Or?
I mostly just came to listen and report back.
All right. Well, welcome. Yeah. And that's great that you're working with the EAA
mm-hmm.
on that event this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Dad just came in last week, and we sat down and fine-tuned the PowerPoint on his laptop and plugged in all the information. Got rid of a couple slides that, you know,
yeah,
we really want to promote Astoria Aviation. There are people coming from the city that could potentially take lessons someplace else, but, you know, we'd like them to get their license here.
Yeah.
But if you know anyone that thinks, wants to go for a flight that day or come in and watch the presentation, please take one of these brochures and pass it out. We're hoping to have like 10, 15 max.
That would be plenty.
Yeah, we have.
So don't get the word out too hard.
Not too hard. We have three.
Yeah. If I put it out, I'd be.
Yeah, I know. If you'd like to go. There's five planes. We have five planes
okay.
committed. We have some people that can't fly, so. And they want it to be one-on-one, like a young eagle. If we have a four place, Wes can take three kids up,
right?
One flight, but they really want just one adult at
so
a time.
So they can put their hands on the controls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's maybe a husband and wife or something like that. They,
right.
They don't really mind, but it's not like we get credits from EAA. We do get two free tickets to Oshkosh AirVenture. Every chapter that has this will receive 2 week-long passes for AirVenture. So if anybody wants to go to AirVenture, see? that would be fantastic. We'd happily.
Absolutely.
I mean, my mom's like, you should raffle them off. I'm like, I would rather give them to one of our EAA pilots. So.
At our Astoria Aviation, I mean, it would be perfect if
yeah.
you want to make that trip.
Yeah.
A 5-day drive or you fly commercial. For two. There's two tickets. And week long, it's pretty pricey.
Yeah.
Take the 150.
Leave 2 weeks ahead.
Yeah, it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done.
So I put the WPA on here because we had talked about it before, but I had no. Now they.
Yeah,
again,
and I let the port know
this,
about that. They're not
right?
They're not requesting. They're coordinating a little bit because they're
yeah.
trying to develop transportation. They already got the Riverwalk in, and there's not anything special about their airplanes. But last time I talked to the WPA president, he said they have 40 people signed up. And that's not, you know, couples. That's 40 people total. They expect up to about 40 airplanes. And they're here for 4 days. Mm-hmm. They'll arrive on the 11th, and they'll stay till Saturday the 14th.
Okay, so it's not a fly-through, kind of like the antique air.
Right.
Okay.
Right. This is
four nights,
their
okay.
destination, and they chose Oregon for the Washington Pilots Association.
That's right.
I think that's a good thing.
So they're going to spend the night here.
Four nights? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
I thought
or three nights, 11th, 12th, and 13th. They leave the 14th.
I thought they were going on to Kelso.
That's,
the other one. That's the antique pilots.
Oh, okay.
That you're part of, probably. Oh, it should be.
Yeah.
Two
Ouch.
Looks like you have to work a little harder for that vote there.
So they don't need any assistance from EAA?
No, all they're looking for is, you know, to and they're still trying to coordinate transportation.
Okay.
And so I gave them Bruce's number.
Okay.
And because I didn't know who else for that kind of quantity.
Sure.
The funny part about them was they're talking about, you know, they want to go to Southwest Washington, Long Beach Peninsula. They want to go to Seaside and Cannon Beach. And I said, well, while you're here, if the weather is nice, you got any flights planned? You know, the Oregon, Washington coast, even if you just go down and tell them looking up to Leadbetter Point, it's a great, and they go, oh. I guess we should think about that. Because they were talking about chowder houses and moles and all this. So.
I believe, I think it's public knowledge. I think the Coast Guard Cutter Eagle is going to be in port around that time as well. And they often give tours.
Or are they going to be the 17th?
I don't know the specifics of it. I can try and find out.
Oh,
but if they're interested in the non-aviation type thing.
Oh, yeah, they want to go to the Maritime Museum. And that's probably well out of dock there, huh?
The Eagle is on its way around here.
Mm-hmm. It'll be attending, so plans on being in June 13th. And
oh,
I think
June
usually
13th is going to be here?
Yes.
Wow, that'll be neat.
And,
yeah.
And they often open up for public tours, too, to walk through the ship itself. So I think they're participating in the Rose Festival, and then on their way out, they'll be coming in as well for a few days.
Were you an Academy guy?
I was.
So you spent time on Eagle.
I did.
Yeah, well, great.
It was a pretty cool ship, yeah.
Ah, cool.
All right, so the tetrahedron got damaged, is that right, during the weather?
It's just a little older, but and one of the things we'd always wondered over the last few years, like, why isn't that thing just falling apart? And so the skin is really in pretty bad shape. It just needs to have some places that need to be repaired, but the frame is actually, the structure is in good shape. So, you know, what we're going to do is just make some repairs and get that thing back viable. And I know that you talked about potentially having some EA volunteers come and paint the thing. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I haven't had anybody volunteer yet, but.
Yes.
that doesn't mean
we're going to put solar panels on it.
I'd like to light it. It'd be nice.
I think
they want to go back to lighting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
A couple of AD batteries in there to store it.
Yeah.
The last time that the port's not obligated to maintain it because the FAA doesn't support them anymore.
Right.
But if you have them, they have to meet their standard, you know, for the colors and markings and stuff. So last time we had a group here that painted it and just lubed up the bearings and stuff. And the Coast Guard, they kind of supported it too, because the colors were the Coast Guard helicopter colors, which is the international orange and the white. And so last time it took about a gallon and a half paint of each red or the orange and the white. And they used to have some, I don't know if you still have that, but they used to have some paint on the shelf for your helicopters, and it was approaching the date where the shelf life was over.
Mm.
So they just donated it to us. And that's where we got the paint from. And then the black, we just picked up black for it. But that hasn't been done since probably 2000.
Okay.
And all we did was pressure wash it off a little bit, clean it off. The airport manager then got us a power cord. So, but it would be up to Matt to see if he'd be willing to let us do that.
Sure.
And have a party to fix it up.
Sure.
Now, the one thing about it is you have to either take it off the frame or you have to secure it. That thing's a lot bigger than what you think it is. You could put 12 homeless people in there and give them new direction in life and their windows. And because it really is pretty good size, and it doesn't take a whole lot to swing it.
Right.
So if you put a ladder or anything against it, that was the one thing too, is when Ron Larson was the airport manager, we were going to go ahead and fix the light, but that's still incandescent lights back then.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's got that pan where it you know, the brushes and all that. But it doesn't look like anything until you're up close to it. You can't really lean a ladder against it to fix the lights, you know, because it'll start swinging on you and stuff. And so it's hard to maintain the lights, but now with LEDs and their longevity, it might be something worth looking at.
Yeah, I think that, you know, with the LEDs, and, you know, not only the longevity, but the energy efficiency, you don't have to have a huge battery to light that thing.
Oh, so you're thinking about battery powering it.
Yeah, we'll have solar battery.
Yeah, because it had power through the stem.
Yeah, power through the stem, I think we were looking at that.
Bad.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that copper plate was already rough a few years back.
Yeah. So that, the thought was just solar. And then
Electric went in there and looked at that, and it'd be a nightmare to fix that.
Yeah,
Rotex in there that does well, but at that time he says you're better off to put the solar panels up and LED lights on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, where it has the black markings, there's no reason, I guess, that you couldn't have solar panels in that space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the far aim, it has exactly how it's supposed to be painted. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be really accurate, because from a distance, you can't tell. You need a 1,000-foot paint job, you know.
Pattern-altitude paint job. Yeah.
But if you're willing to let us do that as a project, I think... Not just, I don't just want to bump it to the EA. I think everybody who's a user out there has got an interest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Catch it when it's low wind.
The more hands in it would be better. Yeah.
Is there, I was wondering also, is there, besides the EA, is there a Boy Scout chapter or Explorer chapter, troop around here?
There is.
There's three different ones, actually. The lady at the post office is the Scoutmaster or Cubmaster. We have her contact, but...
Yeah, she's at the Warrenton Post Office.
Okay.
And they came through. The first Young Eagle, before we could fly them, they were really interested. And so I think that'd be a great...
It'd be a great service project.
Yeah,
project.
Yeah. Thin project.
Young people. Energy.
Yeah. Scamper up that ladder. So is that something you want to get done at any particular time? I mean, it's definitely a summertime job, right?
Yeah.
Like July, August?
Yeah.
August.
And pretty much, unless it's lifted off of there and set somewhere, pretty much it needs to be, you don't want dew on it, of course, when you're painting, but when the afternoon winds, it's hard to control.
Yeah.
So a morning project.
Is there like a mechanical lock on it?
No.
Keep it? No, it's just free space.
Yeah, and it is large, you know. And they did some repairs on it. Chris and my brother went out and welded the stem on it because the weight broke off in a storm. And that weight's kind of a long stem out there, like a balancing weight. But you can see where it pivots. There's about two-thirds of the thing behind the pivot, you know, so that it stabilizes in the wind.
Can you anchor it with vehicles so it won't move?
Yeah, you probably could. I think that's how we did last time because the wind started picking up a little bit. And
anchor it up.
Yeah.
A concrete block out there and a couple of come-alongs.
Yeah, I think we had a car trailer hitch hooked to it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We got a gas... pressure washer.
Gotta have water. You have water out there?
No, we had a tank. Somebody had like a 500-gallon tank.
To wash it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to take point on this? Because I'm not going to be probably. You got that? Okay, so contact Matt if you've got any ideas. Or any people that want to. Thank you. Or through Deanna. Okay.
I can help too if you need.
Okay.
Yeah, call Deanna.
Okay, so the FAA is shutting down the VOR 08 approach.
Got good news on that, unless you want to get
Well, I'll read the email from Dave Parker from the FAA. Given the number of objections we have received from various entities, we have decided to remove the VOR RWY 8 procedure from the list of those being considered for cancellation at this time.
You know what?
So it's not being canceled.
Not being
so there was public comment. We got that email. And
great.
Then people commented.
Yep.
So no change. It's
no
just
change.
Status quo at this point.
Start using that for instruments.
Right on.
Yeah, that came about since I talked to you, because Dave Parker just sent me, you, and Thaddeus all.
Yep.
Yeah. So sometimes it does good to respond.
Yep.
And
That's not a back course, is it?
No, you know, if they had a back course, but
I can pull it up there.
Yeah, and there's an RNAV approach too. But what makes the VOR approach good is, you know, if all you have in your plane is a VOR, and you have an iPad that you could use in place of a DME, and you're a VFR pilot, it allows you to practice that.
So it's opposite the ILS, but not a back course.
So you've got the same.
We practiced it yesterday with students.
You got 26 there.
Yeah. You're opposite of 26, but it's not on the back course. It's not on the back course. It's still just using a VOR
now, so we started.
Tell you something that happened here about 2 weeks ago. My brother and I were flying back from Scappoose. And Phil Knight, they had two Gulfstream 650s, and there was a Citation jet and a RJ-182. And because they had the ILS NOTAMed out, everybody was flying the V-4-inch approach. It was a beautiful day, you know, it was VFR day. But they were all, one after the other, flying the VOR-8 approach. I thought, wow, this is a good thing to send to Dave Barker. You got these people on...
And they weren't doing the RNAV-8.
No, no, but it was VFR, you know. It was, and they were just doing the VFR. They were cutting into it, but that was kind of funny, so...
It's funny, if they had a VOR 1-4 approach, I'd fly it every day of the week, but I just don't like going out over the water that low.
Yeah. But it's an option. Yeah.
Sorry, I know that.
So little bit of difference in power.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, totally. 1,800 feet high altitude for you, I get that.
The nosebleeds up there.
Yeah, and you do see a lot of people cutting, doing the... procedure turn inbound a lot quicker.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I cheat high and I cut it off real fast, and I'm still trying to work to keep my feet down on the pedals instead of flying in a fetal position there. So.
And it's, you know, it's really not that great of approach because what is it, 600 or 700 feet or something?
It's 700.
Yeah. But still, I mean, it's an option, and it allows you to practice that with minimum gear. You know.
Right. Yeah. If you've got a tail dragger or something like that.
But that's nice that it's they took it off the list. Because it didn't make sense. You know, it wasn't costing any. It's not like decommissioning any equipment. They're leaving a VOR here.
Right.
And so it's not like a big savings for anybody. So
you had mentioned that they're changing our AWOS system.
Yeah, they are going. Do you want to update that or you want to?
Go for it.
Well, they're changing from analog to digital. And so if you had tried to call AWOS with that old 861-1730, it hasn't answered for quite some time. There is a new phone number already issued, but it won't go live until the 22nd. But it'll all be through digital remote now. And does it go through the Coast Guard? Somebody said they thought it was
some of the equipment gets routed through some of the facilities there. So we have FAA and NOAA folks coming through every once in a while. It's not our equipment. We just allow them access to their equipment within our spaces.
Okay.
Correct. And I think it's really just correction. The connection to, like, internet services, really, that's all that's over there.
But if people want that number, the old number, you know, it's base 61-1371. Now it is going to be 503-944. Why can't it? I know it's not in service yet. 0014.
503-944-0014.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And that should be live on the 22nd.
What do they call it, AWOS?
Yeah, that's the new telephone number for AWOS.
So it's just for the dial-in service.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. All
right. And they're supposed to, they've upgraded the equipment quite a bit, haven't they? So, are they ever going to integrate that system with the AWOS?
Good question.
I mean, I know that the port still has a license to the research on that, right? You licensed it out a few years ago.
Yeah.
And they extended it twice, but... You know, that's supposed to give you the different layers in cloud height, but I heard it's working well, but I don't know why it's not ever incorporated, or you don't see it when you go to the NOAA site for getting your weather briefing. You don't get the different layers yet, you know, so do you have any? No?
I don't have background on why that is. No.
But at least it lets you know when it's
having different
the
layers.
Hour.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It belongs to some mechanical union, and it only has to work from the hour till five after something. Like
that. That's what that loud whine is, right?
Yeah.
When does that go live, John?
The 20. I don't know. Johnson found out the other day, but I think it's the 22nd or the 23rd
of May.
Yes, but it's been out. I mean, the other phone number has been unavailable. Now for about a month and a half.
Right, it's still out. I'm going to try calling it today.
So does anybody have any other questions or anything to report? Well, thanks. I I'm gonna be busy, so I'm just calling the next meeting on the 8th of September. And until then, I guess Deanna will answer all your questions.
Sounds good.
Anything else with the good of the order? No? All right. We'll call it.
Right.
Thank you.